Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up, I'll be joined by Lorraine Mullarkey from County Monaghan, one of the leading female competitors in this year's Donegal Ultra 555 race, which gets underway in the early hours of tomorrow morning, where those involved will be taking on the Donegal coastline with 555 kilometres to complete in a 40-hour time limit. Gary Duffy tells us about his side's preparations for the start of the Ulster Under-20 Championship as Donegal take on Armagh on Friday evening. And former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle runs his eye over this week's League of Ireland Premier Division clashes. Finn Harps, of course, are on the road tomorrow against Drogheda, and Derry City are taking on Waterford on Friday evening. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. The Donegal Under-20s start the Ulster Championship campaign against Armagh tomorrow evening, Friday, at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Just like the Senior Championship, it's straight knockout, with one of the sides progressing to play Tyrone the following weekend and the other gone after just one game. There has been no league for the counties, so challenge games have been the only outlet to get match practice. Former Donegal under 16 and minor manager Gary Duffy is in his first term in charge at this age group and has brought in All-Ireland winners Eamon McGee and Leo McClune to his management team. I've been getting the lowdown with Gary ahead of tomorrow evening's game. I suppose, Gary, first of all, you were appointed back in March and I spoke to you then, and you were very excited to be getting back into the thick of things, and in particular working with people of the calibre of Eamon McGee and Leo McClune. How's that work partnership been going for you over the last couple of weeks as you guys all prepare for a huge game on Friday?
Yeah, it's been going well so far. You know, two boys bring a lot of intensity to the setup. They know what to do, and equally they know not what to do. And it's important to have that, and have the quality of the two lads with us is really raised the bar for us as we prepare for our championship.
Yeah. Squad-wise, what's the preparation been like for you? Because I'm sure over the last couple of weeks you really turned the heat up on it, Gary.
We've turned the heat up on it somewhat, Oisín, to be honest with you. There are club football, and the boys are available to their clubs the first couple of games, and we're dealing with a lot of soft tissue injuries and stuff over the last week. So we're just trying to get that balance right was proven to be a challenge. But look, they're coming back thick and fast, and hopefully we'll be in a good place come Friday night.
Yeah. So how are you fixed then, squad wise? Obviously you have a few of them in Knox, Gary.
Yeah, look, we've lost a couple of players that's ruling them out. Keelan Gallagher, a big loss to us. Over the course, he picked up an injury. Sean Curran as well, and Jack Gillespie. Them lads have picked up knocks and are going really well at training, and it's unfortunate for them that maybe Jack could be ready for Friday night, but that's going to be assessed tomorrow. But with Keelan and Sean, they're ruled out for the weekend.
Yeah. And in relation to your actual squad, you, of course, were minor manager a couple of years ago, Gary. How's things changed since then, and how's things evolved? And how many of that team do you actually have this time around in 20s?
Oh, look, some have come and some have gone as well. And there's a backup from the minor 2019 team. So they're trying to find the balance between the 2018 team and 2019 team. So there's a good mix there. There's a good blend there. Lads are showing good character for it. Lads has really stepped up. A lot of players have developed a lot over the last couple of years, which is great to see, especially the times that we're in it, and it's very easy to just put the feet up over the pandemic. But a lot of lads did respond and had their eye on becoming involved with under-20s that hopefully would lead the way to their senior pathway.
Yeah, because there's a new route, not so much a new route, but Donegal have taken charge of the route now. So they have, with Carl Lacey and Aaron Kyles in charge of the academy. And it's all about getting the conveyor belt now, Gary, getting the conveyor belt running properly, I suppose, more.
Yeah, look, it's very much welcomed, and we bought into that and our management team, and Carl knows what it's like. He's seen the gaps in the years with maybe underage teams, and we're just trying to close that gap and get that conveyor belt going. So it's been well bought into it, and the understanding of that has to be at the front so that we can produce players for senior team in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Rory O'Donnell's named as your captain, Jimmy Grant as vice captain. Did you have much trouble in trying to select your men to lead the side, or was it an easy enough choice for you, Gary?
Oh, look, there's a number of leaders in every change room, and just Rory just maybe stood out. And Jimmy, look, they're vocal, they're good lads. They really showed leadership on the training field. We didn't rush into the decision. We watched them, we monitored it over a number of weeks, and those two stood out, and we're delighted that they accepted the challenge of leading the Donegal under-20s this year.
Yeah. A couple of challenge games, Gary, as well for you that you've under your belt. Listen, you don't read too much into results of challenge games. You look at the performance and players and particular certain players and see how they're developing. Did you get much out of those games? Were you happy with what you had out of those games, Gary?
Yeah, look, we're always trying to find areas that lads can set into positions, and we use the challenge games for that. Challenge games are good. Don't get me wrong, but competitive football is where you learn far more, and we didn't get a league this year, so these challenge games was the next best thing, and it's to find out what players can settle into positions, and we've seen one or two that did step up in them challenge games that may be able to do a job for us come championship.
Is there more pressure then on you guys as a management team, given the circumstance that you don't have a league and you've got a very, very short period of time to try and get this team clicking properly, Gary?
Yeah, look, come here, pressure's for tires, to be honest with you, Oisin. We want to develop these players. This is what we're about. We're a development squad, a conveyor belt for the senior team, and it's getting the balance right is what we're really putting all efforts into. Of course, we want to go out and win. I'm not here to say we're not, but the main thing is we keep things moving in the right direction for Donegal football.
Yeah, well, you're playing Armagh Friday night. What do you know about the opposition at this stage, Gary? Because getting into these sort of championships now in the current climate that they're in, it's a bit of an unknown so there.
Yeah, look at and equally for Armagh as well, because they're no league football, like I said earlier. It's very hard to know players develop like Donegal did, and players maybe don't make a panel that was there in minor teams. We met each other at minor level 2 years ago. We in Balbuffet, there are a lot of good players from that Armagh. Armagh brings the physicality, which you always do, and it's Ulster football, and we know what Ulster football's like. It's competitive. Any one of 5-6 teams can win, and Armagh's gonna be no different in that in any given year.
Yeah, nice card at the end of it. A trip to Hayley Park to play Tyrone, Gary.
We're not even considering that at the minute. We're just fully focused on Friday night, Oisin.
Okay, and just maybe in the style of football, the modern day football, we've seen high scoring games at senior level, Gary. Is it something that we can look forward to possibly at under 20 level as well?
Look, with the Donegal, Donegal gets a lot of criticism maybe in the past, maybe from 10 years ago and stuff. Donegal teams, particularly underage, always have been scoring high. They always try to play expansive football, and we're no different.
Yeah, we'll look forward then to some good football this coming Friday night. The best of luck against Armagh, Gary. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Oisin.
That's Donegal under 20 manager Gary Duffy. It's Donegal against Armagh, McCool Park in Ballybuffet on Friday evening. Throw-in is at 8 o'clock, and we will have full live match commentary on our website. You can go to highlandradio.com for commentary from that game tomorrow evening. The Ulster Minor Football Championship Final for last year, 2020, is also taking place tomorrow night, Friday. Derry, who overcame Tyrone in the semi-finals, and Monaghan, who defeated Fermanagh in the last four, will be clashing in that decider at Hayley Park in Omagh. It's scheduled to throw in there at 7:30 on Friday. And after Donegal's win against Down last weekend, the Ulster Championship continues this weekend with two games as they start the quarter-final stage. The first of the last eight encounters is Monaghan against Fermanagh at Clonus on Saturday. Starts at 3:30, and then on Sunday, Armagh will be playing host to Antrim. Two Northwest counties are involved in hurling action this weekend in the Christy Ring Cup Group A. Derry are on the road as they go to Roscommon. That one on Saturday starts at 3 o'clock. But before that, at 1:30, in the Nicky Rackard competition, Tyrone are also away from home. They go to the Athletic Grounds. They're making the short trip to the Athletic Grounds to play Armagh on a Saturday. Back to Friday night football, and the Ulster Senior Ladies Championship semi-final is taking place with Tyrone up against Armagh. Whoever comes through that game will play Donegal in the Ulster final on Friday, the 6th of August. The sixth edition of the Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra Race, a challenging route of 555 kilometres along the rugged and beautiful Donegal Wild Atlantic Way coastline, starts tomorrow morning, Friday the 2nd of July. Competitors will depart Letterkenny and take on some of the most scenic roads to be found anywhere in the world as the route takes them past Malinhead, Mamore Gap, Knockalla, Atlantic Drive, Hornhead, Glengesh Pass, Slieve League and Barnesmore Gap, all within a 40-hour time limit. The solo ladies category has some top class cyclists entered this year. Among them is Monaghan's Lorraine Mullarkey, who over the last couple of years has developed into a competitive endurance rider. Lorraine has been telling me how her interest in the race came about.
Probably a few years ago was the first I noticed it, and that was I remember following Ronan McLaughlin when he did it, and I remember thinking to myself back then, I was like, I'm going to do something crazy like that someday. But never really said about when I would do it. This year, I was focusing more on getting home maybe to do the Nationals, but unfortunately the Nationals was postponed. So I had said to Sean then, because I'd know Sean very well, out in Dubai, himself and Irene and the boys, and I just took a notion and I was like, I'm just going to do it. So that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, you said that you were going to take on this crazy challenge. You have to be a wee bit mad to be at this sort of endurance cycling racing, don't you, Lorraine?
A little bit, yeah. But I always say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah. Well, give us maybe a wee bit of information on your background as to where you're at in endurance cycling, because out in Dubai, as you mentioned, and you know, Sean, you are the record holder for the Seven Emirates, which is almost 500 kilometres, but you've been involved in a lot of endurance racing to get you now to this point at the 555.
Yeah, so the Seven Emirates was it was October, it'd be 2 years now in October, and believe it or not, I decided to do that on the Monday, and it started on the Friday night. Before that, the biggest ride I had done was 185k. And like I always do, I don't really think about these things. I just throw myself into them. And I seen it on a Facebook post of some guys that were doing it. They were doing it to raise money. And I messaged them and I just said, can I join? And they were like, yeah, go for it. And I'll never forget going up the road to Abu Dhabi where we were starting, and they were talking about all the training that they'd done and the long rides that they'd done and all the prep that they'd done, and I was sitting there starting to sweat going, oh dear, what have I let myself in for? But yeah, so I completed it. Now I wouldn't say it was easy, but yeah, I got through it and I managed it. A lot of it's mental, to be honest. It's all in the head as well as the legs. And then since that, back in April, I rode 3,500 kilometres for the month. I rode every day to raise money for Crumland Street Children's Hospital, where my nephew was last year. We finished that off with a 200-kilometre ride. And then about a week or so after that, somebody that was on that ride messaged me and said, how do you fancy doing a 400-kilometre night ride? And I remember thinking, yeah, that's only double what we did. Sure, that's nothing. And then I got there and I was like, oh, dear, like this is like 400K. Yeah. And that's through the night into the morning because of the temperatures, obviously. But so, yeah, in terms of endurance, I think nothing of going out and doing 4 or 5 hours on the bike on my own in the hills in Dubai. I just get on it and get on with it.
Yeah, you have been here to Donegal before because you've competed in the 3 day. You've done the Inishowen 100. You know what the roads are like. How does Donegal then compare to like what you were doing in Dubai?
Donegal is going to be tough. The road surface, the hills. You know, there's very few flat parts, and I know from riding up there before, the roads, even when they look flat, the roads are very dead. We don't have as many hills in Dubai. Now, we do have hills and we do have mountains, and it takes a bit more of an effort to get there. I've done a bit of night training recently to prepare me. So I think in terms of descending at night, I had a bit of practice at that a few weeks ago, climbing and, yeah, just just all round, yeah. I think I'm not sure the nice smooth surface of Dubai will stand to me, but I was out there this morning and yeah, the road surface is definitely going to be the huge one because that rougher road was always going to tire you out.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to in this challenge and what are you not looking forward to? Because when we rolling off the tongue, we've got stuff like Mamour Gap and Glengash and things like that to deal with.
Well, the thing that I'm looking forward to in comparison to the training that I've done recently is I only have to do each one of them once. Once I'm over each climb, then that's it done. And I think that's part of my mental game is just like taking each section as it comes and just getting over it. So what am I most looking forward to? I'm most looking forward to rolling up onto that ramp when I'm finished.
What sort of time are you hoping to do it in?
Obviously, I wanted to obviously do sub 24, but I haven't really. I'm thinking definitely sub 22 would be good. Yeah. But time wise, a lot of it will come down to what we get in the day weather wise.
Yeah.
I was out yesterday afternoon and it was quite windy. You know, it's really nice weather, but it's quite windy. So it'll depend on what we get on the day. So. Right. Let's see.
The less one, the better.
Well, that's an ideal world, but that never happens.
That's particularly in Donegal. No, does it? I'm talking to you now, and you're home in Monaghan, and you're going to be making the trek up to Donegal on Thursday. So, what do you do now in these days leading up to it, Lorraine?
Today is all about preparation. I was out on the bike this morning. That will be my sort of last longer ride. I'll do a short one tomorrow, but we'll. Just to spin out the legs. Plenty of yoga, get stretched out. And then just the prep of bikes, food, fuel, all that sort of stuff. So gear, I'll have every piece of gear that I own will be packed and with me because you don't know what the weather's gonna throw at us. And being cold is not an option.
Yeah.
Said to my dad this morning, is it cold out there? And he goes, no, it's lovely. It's really warm and humid. I was blue when I got back. It's freezing.
Well, you're normally used to temperatures in the high 30s, aren't you?
Yeah, that was probably one of the difficult things, Oisin, about training for this in the recent, probably the last month, was the temperatures and humidity. Like, it was really tough. You couldn't do long rides unless you were doing it at night. And even at that, one of the nights, Sean had taken me out to the hills and it was lovely and there was a nice wind and about 3 o'clock in the morning it was like somebody just switched off the wind and the humidity went through the roof. No air. It was like somebody was smothering you. Sweat just lashed, like you were just dripping and it's quite tough. So in terms of getting that long mileage in, it was probably one of the toughest things was the heat. So yeah, I'm going to struggle with the cold now when I'm back here. So I'm hoping for, they were talking about just going to be 23-30 degrees and I was like, bring it on.
Finally, just then, when you go back to Dubai, how proud would you be to have a title of a 555 alongside your name with all those other accolades that you have now, Lorraine?
Extremely proud. I think it's one of those things that having a medal or something for the pain that you're going to go through, the mental battles that you will have on the road. So it's not just about physical, but it's about mental and the memories that you'll have from that, having a trophy or a medal to remember that will be very, very special.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck this coming Friday on the 555 here in Donegal. We'll come to you after the sprint.
Thank you very much.
That's Lorraine Mullarkey, one of the competitors in the solo ladies category for the 555, which gets underway at 10 to 6 tomorrow morning. We wish everybody all the best with that event. Some of the riders to watch out for on the men's solo is Conor Gallagher from Castlebar. He's a former Irish youth rider. He would be seen as one of the favourites for the event, as would Roger Brown, a former winner of the Ultra Race. And don't forget about local man Colm Richardson as well. And we can't forget about our very own John Breslin, who's heading on his bike around the Northwest, literally He's one of those solo riders taking on the 555 kilometres tomorrow. And he's doing it in aid of the Donegal branch of the Down Syndrome Association, who offers support and services to members and their families throughout Donegal, with everything from speech therapy to workshops to parent link support. So if you'd like to sponsor John, you can go to the GoFundMe page. That's John Breslin's 555 for Down Syndrome. There's more details as well on the Highland Radio social channel. So the very best of luck to Highland's own John Breslin taking on the 555 in aid of the Donegal Down Syndrome Association. In this weekend's Premier Division clashes on the soccer front, Finn Harps are on the road at Drogheda United, while Ollie Horgan is hoping to open the gap between the Blues and the bottom two in the standings. They will also be looking for Derry City and Sligo Rovers to do them a favour by taking points off Waterford and Longford Town. In this week's League of Ireland preview, I was joined by former Finn Harps captain, that's Declan Boyle. Ollie Horgan says that these games are big every week, but they're starting to get a bit bigger now, so they are, given that Harps haven't won a match since they played Waterford. I was down in Waterford in the middle of May, Declan, and they haven't just struck that same form that we've seen them hit at the start of the campaign. So how big is this game then, Friday night on the road against Drogheda, in your mind?
Yeah, listen, I think Ollie's probably correct when he says it's a big match for them. It's important that they try to get a one or pick up 3 points somewhere. Drogheda obviously have done well at home and picked up a lot of points and have been formidable this year. And obviously they beat Harps early in the season in Fan Park there as well, 2-1 with a last minute goal from Dame Massey. And I think the first game up in Drogheda was also a 1-1 draw. So listen, it's important to pick up 3 points from summer and just give them a bit of confidence. Just not getting the breaks. A lot of injuries as well in the squad, and that's affecting the performance on the pitch. And they just need to get, 3 points from somewhere. Obviously, if Waterford at home as well, they'll be looking to target that for a home one. But it's really important to concentrate on Drogheda, but it'll not be an easy match. And, even if they get a draw, potentially that would be a very good result up there.
Yeah, but is it a game that they can take the full points in, Declan, if things start to fall right for them? Because just sort of wee decisions and wee things happening on the field just haven't been going their way of late.
No, that's correct. They haven't got the breaks. Even last week against Longford, where the performance wasn't brilliant, they probably done enough on the day to get 3 points. Obviously, the penalty was a bit, stuck that away. Probably if Barry McNamee converts that penalty, they probably go on to win the game 2-1. The first goal that Aaron Dobbs as well, I looked offside, so it's a strange one from the referee. Maybe he's seen something that I didn't see, but yeah, listen, those kind of decisions going against you. And then, you bring in a wee bit of luck with, injuries and suspension coming on board as well. And that just affects you a wee bit. A few players have left the squad. So just leaves a wee bit thin in numbers and quality on the bench to make changes. And David Webster has missed the last three games. And I think, he's a big player for them. If we can get him back fit and in the team, I think he'd make a big difference. Even though that Johnny Dunleavy's come on and done very well and left back.
Yeah. Harps, Ollie Horgan said rather that it wasn't looking into the transfer market. That was a number of weeks ago, but things have changed very, very quickly. I'm sure the Harps boss now will be keeping an eye on who's available and who he can bring in, because he doesn't, as you say, have the same squad available to him now as we go into the month of July.
No, the squad's definitely depleted. If you look at the quality they had in the starting 11, also on the bench, they've lost players. Mark Russell's gone away and Ryan Shanley's gone back to Scotland as well. There's two that have left the club, and there's a few more left there as well. So it's important. I have no doubt that Ollie's playing that down a wee bit. I would say he's looking to bring in a wee bit of quality at the top end of the pitch just to convert things, or another midfielder potentially as well. So you're always looking to bring in a wee bit of quality. And what's important is when things maybe are not going the way you want them to go, and you're out of luck a wee bit and some decision making, you want to bring in a player with a wee bit of quality that'll give the players that are already there a wee lift to bring them forward. And I suppose throughout the whole season they've been very good. They've played very well. The performances at home have been excellent. The results haven't gone their way. But now they had a wee blip. They had a really good start and had a wee blip. Now it's important just to get through that blip and push on from there, as they say themselves. And it's a big match in Drogheda. Let's try to get something out of the game, if not 3 points, and then bring that into the Waterford match next week at home.
Yeah, and I suppose it's amazing what 3 points can do. If you haven't had 3 points in quite a number of weeks, if it was to happen tomorrow night, the side would get a massive lift out of it, Declan.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Because it's, you know, sports is all about confidence, and you know, the more positive results, the better players play, and that's, you know, as evident in front of goals or missing chances as well, and you know, it's lacking a wee bit of composure. They've got and had opportunities to win the games, and they just haven't converted them. You know, that has an effect. Obviously, they're getting sucked in now to Longford and also to Waterford, and you want to keep the distance between them as much as possible. But if you can get two or three run, 3 points on the bounce, one, two or three games, actually can mean such a difference. I mean, you can get 6 points out of two games, that gives you such a lift, and it gets you back into the middle of the table and gives everybody around the club a lift, but also the players the confidence to go on and finish out the season on a really positive note.
Yeah, and they'll be looking for the North West sides to help them out this weekend. Derry are at the Brandywell, taking on Waterford. Derry were unlucky not to come away at Oriel Park the last day with something, Declan. Just a second defeat under Rory Higgins. But as Derry look to take 3 points against Waterford, the Derry City manager isn't hanging around in relation to signings, because he's had a very, very busy week, Declan.
They have. I suppose, listen, it's a great thing to have for Rory to get the support of his chairperson and the funding to do so. And, you know, that makes a hell of a difference. I mean, Jimmy McGonigal's come in there from Crusaders, so he can play up top, but he also can play out wide. And I think that's important, because David Parkhouse has been up playing as a low, up there centre forward. He's just not getting the ammunition or the opportunities. And hopefully Jamie can come in there and give him that. Now, Jamie's obviously a perfect goal source from the Irish League. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares out. I mean, the reason 35,000 is supposed to be spent on bringing him in from Crusaders, that's a lot of money. In League of Ireland circuit to buy a player, and so it'll be interesting to see how he hits the ground running, but has scored a lot of goals, so it obviously comes with a lot of potential. Obviously Cameron McJanet as well, and James Akintunde have signed 18-month extensions to their contracts, so and they also signed three of the young academy players who were involved in the first team as well in contracts, professional contracts, for the first time. So that's really positive, really good that they're securing and they're giving out long-term contracts, because that's important to players in regards to their welfare, but also planning ahead. And, you know, people nowadays are professional people, and if they have mortgages or bills to pay, they need to be fit to have some security. So that's great. But it also means that they have these players for the next 3 to 4 years, which is great for the club.
Yeah. There's rumours rife at the moment. There could be another addition in the next couple of days. Now, as we speak, Declan, there's nothing official here, but Junior, in some sort of way, has been linked with a move back to the Brandywell. If that was to happen, and it is the case, how big a lift would that be for Derry on the goal scoring front?
Yeah, that's a big lift. I suppose he had an excellent season there 2 seasons ago with Derry City, when he played along with Parkhouse. Between the two of them, they had nearly 30 goals got for the season. So he will bring them a lift. He can play up top, he can play out wide or right or left. So that'll obviously give them more quality in those areas, and strengthen those areas, because that's probably an area that they haven't done that well in all year. They've relied heavily on set plays for their goals, so they haven't scored too many goals from open play. So obviously he'll bring that quality and penetration to the team if he comes. He left obviously the Irish City and he went to Sligo. Didn't go so well in Sligo. Then it was word he was supposed to come back to Derry City, and then he ended up signing for Dundalk. So it hasn't worked out in Dundalk. A lot of quality up there, but he'd be a welcome addition, and would bring them something a wee bit different up top if they can sign him. And it's a big signing for Derry City.
Yeah. Can Waterford trouble Derry tomorrow night?
Waterford have been good. They've been, I suppose, the new manager come in, and, you know, they've done a small mini pre-season there, or just during the break, and they've got a lot fitter. They seem to have a bit more lift and confidence and more motivation. They had a big result 2 weeks ago after beating Longford, up in Longford, and getting a 2-1, and that puts a wee bit of distance between them and Longford. So they've beaten Dundalk on their own as well, and up the Oriel and won 3-1 as well. So they've got big results away from home. You know, they can't put in good performances. I see Derry getting 3 points against Waterford at the weekend.
Yeah, the other team below Harps and sitting below Waterford as well is Longford Town. You would expect Sligo Rovers to have too much for the basement club, but and Harps will be looking for a result there as well that would help them along the way. But Sligo go into this game probably off the back of their best performance of the season, Declan.
Yeah, by all accounts, it was a top rate performance by Sligo against Bowes. Your Bowes were coming in good form. And a lot of big victories as well. It's supposed to be a smashing game of football, actually, by all accounts, and big performance by all the players involved on the night, and they got a big victory against Bowes, and that gives them the confidence to push on, because they went through, you know, three bad results as such, and two over the Bank Holiday weekend, and that's, you know, that's obviously then come into the Bowes game, and you know, they got a big victory against Bowes, and that keeps them up along with St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table. But yeah, the last time they went and played Longford, they won 1-0, was Gary Buckley scored a header from a corner kick. So, but yeah, listen, you know, not be easy, as we all know, no easy games in it, but you'd be expecting them to get 3 points against Longford on Friday evening.
Yeah, and they've added to their squad as well. They have taken in Seamus Kuehl to the side. Declan, what do you make of that move?
Well, Seamus has been up training along with the first team, but he's also played a few matches for the under-19s under ourselves. So yeah, really good player. He's a slagging lad himself. Would have played international football at 15s and 16s and 17s. And went across to Southampton for 2 years and has come back in. Just didn't work out from a few injuries. He's a top lad. Really good addition to the team. Can play in midfield and the sixth or the eighth position and play right foot as well. So he gives them, I suppose, make the squad a wee bit stronger, but an excellent addition to the team.
The leaders, St Patrick's Athletic against Bohemians. Georgie Kelly will be looking to add to his total. He's been in brilliant scoring form for Bohemians, and he's up against a former side as well. It's going to be an interesting Dublin derby. Will Pat still be top of the table after this one, Declan?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, you know. I mean, Georgie Kelly, 11 goals this season. You know, he's got just going really well. A lot better than he'd done last year, obviously, scoring goals, has that confidence, scoring big goals as well, crucial times. He scored, obviously, a couple of hat-tricks as well on top of that, but he's probably been the player of the year so far in the league. So, yeah, listen, it's going to be a big threat to St Pat's. It's an interesting one. It's obviously a Dublin derby, and in a normal circumstances, to be a big crowd at that game with a really good atmosphere. So it's just hard to know. I mean, St Pat's don't give too much away. Bowes score a lot of goals, so something's got to give there. I'm probably expecting a draw out of that one. Probably, I think it'll be a scoreless as draw, yeah, so.
Yeah, one other match as well, Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk. These two have been involved in some tremendous games, of course, in recent history. Rovers are the defending champions. It's all changed at Dundalk. Can Dundalk get a result at the Talla Stadium? Yes, they haven't found their top-end form as much as they would want this year, Declan, but I'm sure it's a game Dundalk will be up for.
Yeah, that's a big match for both clubs. I suppose now they've played each other, I think, three times. Shamrock Rovers, they played each other in the Presidential Cup at the start of the season. That went to penalties, and Dundalk came out on top. Shamrock Rovers beat them already 1-0 in Talla, and in Oriel Park, Dundalk turned them over in 2-1. So, Vincent, see, you know, I'm expecting Shamrock Rovers potentially to get 3 points here, but listen, you just don't know with the Dundalk team. Shamrock Rovers, Richie Tiles was coming on board, so he's available for selection, so it'll be interesting to see will he play against Dundalk, his old club as well. So he's a welcome addition to the Shamrock Rovers squad and first team, and you know, so he's bringing a bit of quality from that midfield area. Maybe they're missing that a wee bit. They're not as free-flowing and scoring as much as they normally do, Shamrock Rovers, but they're getting over the line, and without playing particularly well, they're still top of the table along with St Pat's and Sligo Rovers. So it's a big game for both clubs. Very interesting to see how this is going to pan out. Will we see the better Dundalk team, or will we see the team that's played all year where they've lacked a bit of confidence and have lost a lot of games?
Okay, listen, Declan, as always, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thank you, Ashton.
Just staying with Premier Division matters, and two games involving Fun Harps, there's been changes to a couple of fixtures. Harps playing host to Waterford United on Friday the 9th of July, now is a kickoff of 5:45 rather than the previous scheduled 8 o'clock kickoff. And they also play Dundalk at Oriel Park the following weekend. It was originally scheduled for Sunday, July 18th, and it's now been moved to Saturday, July 17th, with a kickoff at 4 o'clock. National underage competitions continue this weekend as well. On Saturday, in the under-17 category in Group A, Harps are at Bishop Gates, taking on Longford Town, starts at 1 o'clock, while Derry City will play host to Sligo Rovers at 2. Also on Saturday, in the underage women's under-17 Group A, Donegal League are taking on Bohemians at Lakeview Park. It starts at 5:30. On to Sunday, into the under-19 category. In Group B, Derry City play host to St Patrick's Athletic at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday. At the same time, at the Curragh and Harps are playing host to UCD. And Declan Boyle's Sligo Rovers are playing Dundalk. And there's also a game for the Donegal Women's League at under 19 level in Group B. They're playing Bohemians in Dublin in the Oscar Traynor Centre at 2 o'clock. Finally, Basketball Ireland under-18 women's head coach Tommy O'Mahony has named his 12-person final squad for the FIBA European Challengers in late July, and it includes two players from the Letterkenny Blaze Club. Maria Keeley is one of four uncapped players and is in line for her international debut. Keeley is joined by fellow Blaze member Sharon Cunningham. The Europeans will take place in the Czech Republic from the 27th of July to the 1st of August. Ireland are in Group B and will play Lithuania, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Turkey and Serbia. And that's it from another edition of The Score for tonight. If you missed any of tonight's content, you can, of course, go to the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. It's all available there. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So as always, what's left of your Thursday evening. Have a nice one.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.